You are listening to Hyperspectral.
Hyperspectral.
We have nice. Trail mix, cashews, macadamia nuts.
I think I'm good. I brought a little spliff for when we're done with this
interview. Cute. So. I have two joints.
Nice.
I mean, we encourage...
We want to be high before, during, and after. Hyperspectral.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe I'll bust it out. So I'll spark it mid-talk, and then it'll turn into something.
This is New York. Weed is legal.
Yeah.
Can we pack a bowl, Trisha?
How do you like to be known?
Let's see. My name is Elena Canlas. I use she, her pronouns. I'm Filipinx American, living on Lenape lands in Brooklyn, New York. I'm a musician. I'm a producer. I'm an artist. I'm a chef.
Yeah,
I'm a healer. And I'm a space maker.
Wow.
And this is why Elena is our first guest.
Yes, because she's incredible.
And I'm occasionally a little troublesome shit. But,
okay.
But like, honestly, everyone take note, because that's how you need to introduce yourself.
I want to hear more
from
about
here
your
on
energy.
Out.
Yeah, that's
knowing
deep.
Exactly where you are and who you are and what you do, that is hot.
Huge.
Oh, sure. We could start with my name.
Yes.
My last name, Canlas. In two different Filipino dialects, and one in Cebuano, I think it means landslide, and in Kampampangan, which is part of my ancestry, it means future.
Future.
Wow.
Yeah. And my first name, Elena, means star.
Star.
Your star future.
Yeah. My middle name is Belen. My parents tried to like sneak that in there. So I'm the star of Bethlehem.
That's got to be on your disco album.
I never thought of that, including my last name and my name definition. Ugh.
Of course.
I love that.
That's
no, we always start with the name because.
Yeah. The name is sacred. There's so much story in the name. Yeah. I guess also, like, I don't know. I think you start life like not really thinking deeply about your name, but once you start to learn about the history of it. Like, my last name is, it's from the Philippines. Like, it's indigenous to the Philippines. A lot of Filipinos have Spanish last names. So, yeah. That's the name. And I guess when I started entering, like, Filipinx healing circles, my mentor and one of, like, my most inspirational favorite people of all time, her name is Jana Lynn Umipig. She also has, like, a longer name, but she, when I first sat in the circle with her, she, like, talked about, like, the lineage from which she was descended upon. It was, like, this long statement of her introduction, and I was like, fuck. And she says her grandparents, it's, like, it's supposed to be your story, like, from the top. And I was like, oh, shit, I need to work on that. Like,
yeah, it's deep.
I feel like when I think about her doing it, it's, like, super deep, but even...
You
just
doing
now.
It is deep too.
Thank you. Yeah, I've had to work on it. I never thought like public speaking, or facilitating, or
well,
doing
that's
any
so
of that
interesting,
was going to be my thing. Because
you're on stage all the time.
I know, but when you're on stage, it kind of feels like I don't know. It's
and
it's
you have
less
a lot to say though.
Yeah, I
you're
do.
You're a
now.
Mover and a shaker.
I think the pandemic has brought that out of me for sure.
Oh, like, that's great.
Yeah, you know when you're on stage, there's like a wall of thousands of people or whatever, and then you're in your zone. But when you play like an intimate concert with like your close friends, it's like, to me, it's a little more nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
But yeah, since like following the healing and facilitation path,
I started getting
better at saying my introduction. Let's see, it all happened in November of 2019. I went to my first Sound Mind Collective meeting, and that same month I went to my first Survival Arts Circle, which is the Kali that I've been practicing.
Oh, wow.
And Jana Lynn used to be a part of Survival Arts. Survival Arts is an all women and femme Filipinx defense arts program that was started by Jamie, I'm forgetting her last name right now, but when it back then in 2019 it was Jamie and Jana Lynn, and they were doing Kali circles for women in the Philippines and in California and in New York. It's like international Filipina diaspora. And then around, wow, it seems like this is spanning over a year, but it was like a few months later in 2020, like Jana Lynn parted ways with Survival Arts, and our whole New York City crew kind of splintered off into our own practice. And through lockdown, we were meeting twice a week.
And what is this practice?
The practice is Kali, which is an indigenous Filipino warrior art that involves blades and triangle. And also, like, kind of water flow. Like, it's more... It's not as a...
Come on, Pisces.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's about using the energy that's flowing. And it was originally practiced with blades, but then when the Spanish colonized the Philippines, they took all the blades away. So the practice is now with these sticks. The double sticks, which you've seen me do.
Yeah.
And then the whole concept of survival arts was that the warrior and the healer are the same. So it would be like an hour of training and then an hour of Jenolin's decolonization school. Wow. Which involves, you know, tracing your family ancestry and talking about that and healing ancestral trauma and learning our real history as Filipino Americans, which was never taught to us.
Mm-hmm.
Also, another part of it, which was an initial draw, but is not at the core of why I continue to do it, but having self-defense practice.
Mm-hmm.
Like before a lockdown on the subway and at the restaurant, mm-hmm. and being of Asian descent, that was like, I had never really felt as fearful.
The situation is so real out there.
As I did before, you know?
I mean, especially, you know, from working in the East Village and dealing with staff that was largely female, there was stuff going on every week. And I was just like, we have to just practice vigilance. We have to travel in groups.
And check in on each other.
Exactly.
Body system. Yeah.
Because New York, it's live out there right now.
Definitely. But one of the rules that we learned was making eye contact.
Interesting.
Which we know as New Yorkers, that's either like a good thing, like make eye contact, like I see you, or you make eye contact and you're like, no, that was not an invitation to further engage.
And you trigger someone.
Making eye contact, and also, I guess it really helped with the fight or flight feeling, you know? I might have thrown a little hit or two in my Jersey childhood days.
You're from Jersey.
I am. I did not include that.
Okay,
in my,
she's from Jersey.
I'm from Jersey.
And she gets scrappy.
I did. I think the last time I tried to hit somebody and got like carried away by my friends was at City Winery.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Just for the record, Rika and Elena worked at City Winery.
That's where we met.
Yeah.
And then we worked again together at Joseph Leonard in the West Village, which was super cool.
Yeah, and it's been such a lifelong crew of friendships coming out of that City Winery routine.
Right.
I've been touring since August with Allison Russell.
Oh, cool.
She's incredible. And she's a folk Americana artist, I guess, is what she's kind of being wheeled into, but it's one of those things where, like, she's very multifaceted. But she's from Montreal originally, and she's based in Nashville, and we just finished recording her next album. It's kind of, like, gravitating more towards, like, civil rights era soul and elements of, like, 80s new wave. There's combined with the folk element. But I don't know. I've since I've been playing with her, and this is obviously, like, a different speed, but the term folk music has been, like, kind of pigeonholed into this one version of, like, white American folk. But, like, when I think of folk music around the world and in its origins within, like, Black American music, it's just storytelling and it's resistance and, you know, ritual.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's interesting is I just looked up the etymology of the word folk.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, and it actually means Old English for folk, but actually spelled with a C. Common people, laity, men, people, nation, tribe.
Oh, like folks. Like,
yeah, multitude, troop, army. And then it says also from Proto-Germanic, Volka, which means people, because Volka. Yeah, Volka means people. And they say it could be host of warriors, which is interesting, I think, for maybe the projects you're working on and this redefinition of folk.
Yes, I love that.
It is stuck in some, like, I don't know, whenever you hear folk music, everything, it doesn't sound appealing because it's like, it sounds like old white people stuff.
No, but everything is stuck in white America.
Yeah. That's everything needs to be redefined.
Right. We want to highlight people who are going to redefine the future.
I love that. Come on, baby.
Gary's here.
Gary, get up here, baby.
Gary's our mascot here at Hyperspectral.
Yeah, he's the no-legged dachshund Jack Russell Terrier.
Okay. Oh, yeah. He's not no-legged. He has short legs. Just like me. Yeah. I see a direct correlation between all the work you did to get in line with yourself and learn more about yourself, to prepare yourself and be ready for this moment of 100%. Being with these people. I mean, you being in a room with these women who played with Prince, and so, I mean, it just, everything seems so serendipitous, and but what a so right. And you're on the right road.
From the last stuff.
From the tour you did with you were the only woman.
Yeah, I think it's becoming clearer than ever that it's not sustainable. Like, if you're going to show up to the venue and you're just, like, sour and not engaging in a positive way, it's like, why are you even here?
Mm-hmm. It's like, don't be a part of the conversation if you want to bring it down.
Yeah. So, over pandemic, another thing that kind of happened at the same time as the Kali and Ancestral Project in November 2019, I joined the Soundmind Collective. So one half of, like, how I got, like, more heavily involved in Soundmind Collective during lockdown was we had an artist micro grant. So I was on the panel to help distribute the funds and reviewing applications. Mm-hmm. That was one part of it. And then through all of that and conversations, like, with my other women musician friends, we ended up forming Women Musicians Forum.
So cool that you curated that.
Yeah, it was a full year of once a month Zoom panel discussions, intergenerational, women in music, just talking about, like, the issues and the challenges that we face as in, like, a white male dominated industry, and also changing the concept of industry, music industry, and language around what we're doing and what the intent is. Yeah, like, I wouldn't have, like, entered that zone if I hadn't been in SMC. Yeah, we like to say music culture instead of music industry. You know what I mean? There's this thing in the music industry where there's, like, this time where you have a prime, and then after that you're dispensable. And it's like, there are so many musical culture bearers that are not recognized or acknowledged or given the credit that they're due for.
The spectrum.
Yeah, for being the bearers of this torch that has a long lineage. So, yeah, just...
And has the power to heal and bring people together.
Yeah, and to make change.
Yes.
These discussions and movement and activism that, like, you know, there's the grassroots side of it, and then there's the institution side of it. So, like, this type of thing can only happen in, like, these halls of institution. And it's just, I think the whole point of SMC and of Women Musicians Forum was kind of breaking down those barriers. Exactly. And, like, also considering who is a musician. Like, you know, if you are touring or professional or went to music school or whatever, it's like, I don't know, you can go to a town, like, in North Africa.
What if you're a sound engineer?
Yeah, or if you're a music worker. But I just mean also, like, the idea that musician as a career or as an industry, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. As opposed to, like, a practice, like a ritual practice that, like, some communities, it's not like they also have work, they have jobs, but they're all musicians. Mm-hmm. I don't know, just kind of, like, questioning everything.
It doesn't have to be such a this or that, a binary. But it all connects.
It does.
And it's amazing and admirable how you keep evolving, but I have to ask you, how do you have the energy to do it? It's just amazing. You're always doing something and challenging yourself, and from my perspective as a friend, mm-hmm. you just keep going. And I, where do you find the energy? Is it food? Is it conversation? Is it, what is it?
I think what I've learned is that to be vigilant about taking time for myself, to not expend energy. Like, the important part about being someone that engages with a lot of energy and movement is that a part of that is the slowdown and the stillness. And in my 20s and early 30s, I think stillness was not an easy thing for me necessarily. And I think a big part of stillness and silence is that, like, silence is a musical note. Silence is an energy. It's like, that is something to tap into in order to do it. Making it like a daily ritual instead of it being my work or my job or my thing, you know? It's like, once you've kind of flipped the perspective and you're like, this is my life. Mm-hmm. Not my life's work or my life's mission or anything. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you need to
take away the separation, yeah, and become one with it.
Yeah, I used to think that, like, all of these different parts of me had to be separate. So it was like work until you burn out. But it's like, if everybody inside there is working together, mm-hmm. then it happens.
Well, it's part of the system.
A lot more efficiently.
Especially, like, in Western education, like, mm-hmm. the divide of subjects and, you know, having a major, you know, everything's very, like, compartmentalized.
Yeah.
Because it makes it easier for people to digest.
Totally.
But you're a walking, living masterclass of being. Mm-hmm. No, like, seriously. I feel like, you know, I know true you're up that. On stage playing shows, but you talking to a crowd just the way you're having a conversation with Trisha and I, mm-hmm. is, it's just, it's
powerful.
Yeah, you can't even put a price on it. It's that special.
Oh, I love that. Thank you.
Special spec hyper spectral.
I think through like 2020 and 2021, I mean, not to put a timeline on, but there was a long time when my daily mantra was abundance. Mm. You know, I was like, their abundance is always present. You can tap into it no matter what you are struggling with. If you just, like, take the time to sit with the idea that the earth is abundant. And then once I just, since this year and, like, touring and all of this stuff aligning, you know, I was just like, oh, my God, abundance is everywhere. Like, what is, like, my new mantra? And it's become presence. Because it's like,
The presence is the presence.
I don't know. Like, okay, so now that I've tapped into abundance, it's like, I am just going to be here and enjoy it. And I think one of the biggest things as far as, like, future and fear and success through pandemic is, like, actually not having expectations or really, like, I mean, I do have long-term goals, but yeah, kind of detached from it. Because, you know, there was so long the whole time in this transition where it's like, you could plan a whole tour and then it gets canceled at the drop of a hat. Or you think you're going to do this thing and, like, you know, everything kept getting canceled. And every time that happened, and I was just rolling with it, like, something new that was more aligned just came right in and took over. So I think that would be, like, my idea of, like, the new year and fear and success is just, I don't know.
Well, it already sounds like 2023.
Yeah.
You're just ready for the ride.
I'm just riding. Just, exactly. I'm just riding.
You're just riding and you're enjoying it.
I'm just riding these waves. That can be, that's the only thing I wanted to just say.
Well, I'm glad you took the time to talk to us.
Thanks for inviting me to be your first podcast
of
guest.
Of course.
Oh, my God. I mean,
when you came into my mind and I said it to Trisha, mm-hmm. we immediately were like, yes.
Yeah. Yay!
So, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.